The book of Genesis, Genesis 3:16 or 15 it is. The Lord is speaking here about the expulsion and the difference between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And he says here that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, in this, I'd like to say just a few things tonight. Jesus, in teaching, gave lots of parables. He was always speaking in parables. And it was very difficult for him to be able to get his message over, because the only way that God can express himself to us is through a parabolic manner. Whereas the Bible said, the heavens declare his handiwork, and the earth, the whole earth is full of the knowledge of God. So, it is God within the veil, realizing that all of the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Then it means that even the heavens declare the handiwork. Doth not nature itself teach us? I've had nature to teach me many times. I've had the heavens to declare his handiwork many times. I've discovered the knowledge of the Lord in the earth many times. And so then it depends on your understanding of the scriptures, or if you know what he has said, or what he means by what he is saying, or whether or not you be spiritual. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself can be judged of no man. We come together, and one will try to judge another, and one will reason as to say, well, I don't know, I'm wondering about this, and I think that. But see, that is all vain and a wasted effort. Your understanding is all conglomerated, and you're all bogged down in your mind. You can't do that. There's no way that you can do any of that. Whereas someone would say, but Brother Pike, I have a right to judge, and I judge my brother, or I judge this man, or I judge whatever. The Bible said, judge no man before the times, and you are not his judge. Thou shalt not judge another man's servant. To God he standeth or falleth. So then, if you try to judge him, then ye yourself, ye are judged, for with what measure ye meet, he shall be measured unto you again. You cannot judge him, for he hath already been judged. And he is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no fault with him. No one can lay anything to his charge. He is perfect, justified, glorified, sanctified, predestinated. He is a son of God, and in Christ there's neither male nor female. So you cannot judge him in anything. You cannot reason concerning anything. All you can do is take the word of God, and wherever the word of God is applied, it's yea and amen. As to the individual, it's yea and amen to the situation. It's yea and amen as to your thoughts, and that's the only judgment there is. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? We judge the world, not our brother and one another. But judge this rather, Paul said, that you don't lay in a stumbling block before your brother, nor occasion to fall. We being people, we're all weighted the balances. And in this little text tonight, it shows it very clearly as to what the Lord is saying to us as to judgment beginning at the house of God, and why that we are in the condition we are, either good or bad. So tonight, it makes you to understand who you are and what you are, where you're from, where you're at, and where you're going. only in the sense that I'm able to bring out a few of these things as to being lengthy enough to detail enough to where you can understand it. It is said here there will be an enmity between her, that is the woman Eve, and between the serpent, which was the beast. I will put an enmity between the beast. The beast was the most subtle one in all of the garden. Subtle, you know what a subtle person is? How cunning and crafty, how they ease around religiously or otherwise, and can be right in your midst and act so that they're with you and so that they're for you and your cause, and all the time just be like a leech sapping the life to get everything they can for personal motives and for personal fleshly advantages, or like spots and blemishes in your feast of charity to sap your life, and sporting themselves among you to spout your liberties that they might bring you into bondage through conversation with others or their crafty doings to do what they want to work everything around to their benefit. So here he said, I will put enmity between the woman and the beast. Why did he do that? First of all, it was because of what had taken place between the beast and the woman. Whereas this seemed like a horrible thing to us, and it is a horrible thing, because the woman was on the level of that of a god to the extent that she was illuminated by the Shekinah covering of her husband Adam. So being under the protection of this covering, which was the covering of God, whereas he uses the approach that ye cover with a covering, but not of me. Seeing that Adam had this covering and Eve was part of Adam in the original creative act of God, then both of them being illuminated was protected by this covering, and no iniquity could be near them. Nothing could spot them. Nothing could put a blemish there. There was no depraved thoughts in their mind or their spirit. There was nothing that was distorting or nothing that was degraded or nothing that was abased in all of their world. They knew nothing of this. That wasn't any such thing. It had never come to be. And so then, like a seed sown in the field, they were a good seed. But God had made Adam and Eve. And here Eve had strayed off just wandering around in the garden. And wandering around in the garden, coming across this subtle beast, then this is when the depraved thing took place. Now, the thoughts is this. Why was he so subtle? Did God make him subtle? It's true that God has his way in the good and the evil. No evil can come to a city lest I've sinned, it saith the Lord. Whether it be good or bad, I have my way in it. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I bind up. I bless and I curse, the Lord tells us. So we see the woman wandering around and talking to the beast, perhaps not knowing that there was anybody else could speak like her and Adam. But seeing this and looking over the garden, her wonderful inheritance, her wonderful world, and seeing the beauty of all things without spot or blemish, the beauty of the fruit, the trees, a paradise. And then this beast beautifully, beautifully made shows up. And it enticed her, and especially when it could talk with her. So then we use the terms like this, whether it could talk on its own, or whether Satan projected itself through the beast, it still was talking. Where someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I don't believe spirits can get in beasts. But nevertheless, when Jesus went into the land of Gadara and cast out the devils, they said, let us go away into the herd of swine. And so he did. And it was when Balaam did not honor God and do what God wanted him to, the Spirit spoke through the ass that he rode, as we say, a little donkey, and began to forbade the madness of the prophet and rebuked him. So see, whether it was a projected thing, whatever it was, the beast was talking to Eve. And it was very subtle. So we see that the subtleness of it here, one of the major reasons of it being subtle is because of the craftiness of Lucifer and the ability of Lucifer and how that he can project himself through an individual to make them so subtle. And though this seemed like a terrible thing between a woman and between a beast, yet it is a proven fact that man is beast. And he does come from the beast, and he's nothing but a beast, and he is animal. Not only is he beast, but some are brute beast. The Bible said, made to be taken and burned. Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus, and said, some are brute beast, made to be taken and burned. And so in the world today, we have good beast, as one would say, that is to say, gentle beast. And we have a cruel beast, a brutal kind of a beast. And spirits getting into these kind of beasts, whether they be human beast or any other kind of beast, as in the Old Testament, when a spirit got into a bull and he would kill, they would have the bull kill. If it got into a man and the man would kill, they would have the man kill. And so then God kept things under the control of his auspices and his leadership. And still today, he does it through the billy stick, the handcuffs, putting them in cages like animals. He still does it by gunning them down. That is allowing Satan to do it, or humanity to survive by what they call the laws of liberty or protection or justice. Well, anyway, here's the woman. She's walking around, and when she runs across this, all of a sudden, she shows that she is from the dust, that she is on the same level of the animal. She is made out of the same thing. And here she finds herself coming into conversation and coming into a relationship here as they relate to one another in their conversation and as they contact each other's spirit here. And all of a sudden, her doing this, she withdraws from the godly illumination of the Shekinah covering of God, which is over Adam, that is to say the Shekinah image, which is Christ, from which Adam emanated as to the act of creation. And she separates herself from this as to the mind of her protection or the government of her husband or the controlling factor, which is his spirit. And through the enticement, she is drawn away. The Bible said we are first enticed. We see something. We say, I'd like to have this, or I want that, or what I need is right over the hill from you, or whatever it might be. And so we're enticed, especially if it sparkles, or if it's glittering, or if it's a little enticement, a little flattery, or if it's a good salesman, or whatever it might be. And then here we are, we enticed. Then we're drawn away. We can't stand it unless we get our hands on it. And then we're drawn away of our own desire. See, we're drawn away from our steadfastness in God. We're drawn away from being rooted and grounded in the truth and what we know. We fail to watch and we fail to pray, so we enter into temptation. And this is the common way of life with people. So then in this, the Bible said we're drawn away of our own desire, which is lust, or that is lust draws us away, since the original rendering of lust is desire. And then we're drawn away, and when we're drawn away of our own desire or lust, whereas in the Old Testament the Bible said, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. And then when we're drawn away, then this involves the soul. Because once lust draws us away, then there is a conception of thought as to desire. There comes forth the conception as to seed of thought. Then when this comes forth, then the next thing that comes following this is a birth as to sin. And when lust conceives, it brings forth sin, which is a transgression of God's law, or causing us to go contrary to what God wants us to do and the desire of God and the thoughts of God, which is the mind of Christ. And Eve did exactly this. And then when that happens, we have transgressed his law, and that is sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Because what sin does, it separates us. The transgression separates us from the Shekinah image of God's covering, which is his mercy and protection, and brings us into a condition of iniquity. And this iniquity automatically is the veil of death, or that middle wall of partition that separates us as to the body from the spirit of the eternal Shekinah covering. And this is what happened to Adam. As long as the Shekinah was there, he was masculine. When he lost the Shekinah, then he was feminine. And so then the body is feminine, the spirit is masculine. And I say again, God gave Adam and Eve to give us a typical thing to see this, because we cannot know these things in the sense of looking beyond the veil, because we are natural until we are born again and come to see the spiritual things by the enlightenment of our eyes of understanding being open as the birth of the babe inside, to comprehend the heights, depth, width, and length of this wonderful salvation. So we see then a symbolic thing as God's edification to man. But in all reality, Eve and Adam was one. And it was the feminine gender, if it had not the masculine covering, which was the covering of his glory. And this glory being Christ, which was the beginning of the creation of God. And so then the thing that happened was the iniquity between Adam and the Shekinah covering, which was Christ or God, being the bride of the Spirit, the body of the Spirit. So I said that to say this, that when we look at that, then we see that there is a separation here, and this separation has taken the body away from the spirit, and the spirit had made the body for itself to dwell in, and was covering the body and wooing the body like a man courting his wife until the time that that spirit could enter into the heart of Adam and become interwoven with his life and become one with him, that like a little baby maturing within the womb, Adam could develop into this great, mighty God body and be the ruler in heaven and in earth. And God would project himself through man into the earth, owning the garden, feeling the inspiration of all these created things that he had through the human appetite of the human senses. And through this, he would enjoy the delight of man's heart. And as children, they would be his family, and Adam in return would enjoy the wonderful abundance of life as to the filled up and overflowing fountain that was opened within his heart to show this wonderful life that God had brought forth. So then the tree of life in the garden and the tree of knowledge, and it was said, thou shalt not eat of this tree of knowledge. And it would take a long time tonight, and I wish we had a long time to detail it the way that we could put it on tape, because so many people wonder about these things and they ask and they want to know, and these tapes go into so many places and on the radio, whether it goes sectionally or whatever, and printed in the printed page, and it really makes it bad when we can't really explicitly in detail bring it out, having to jump last from one thing to another. But we see this then, that here Adam and Eve are one. And now there's going to be a great separation. For Eve has partaken of the tree of intellectual reasoning, the tree of knowledge. She's gone to the learning, or the institution of learning. And now Adam, still covered with the Shekinah, Eve has become in one of darkness, and now she is covered with a dark veil. of intellect, and she has now become a creature of intellectual darkness. She is now separated from her husband, but it does not show up as to an allowance because the Shekinah still protects her as it did Judas when he received part of the ministry, being among the apostles, being protected by the presence of the Lord Jesus, though he was a devil from the beginning, as to predestination, yet it had not taken roots until he had come to the full ultimatum of his transgression, and then he was given a sop and he went out into the darkness. This is why I warn so many of them, don't think of yourself as being anything. You are deceived. And don't get your ideas. You are deceived. And at the last, you will get the sop. See, just follow instructions. And so then, in this, when Eve got to Adam, and she made conversation with him, the very minute he heeded one little thought of her conversation, away went the Shekinah covering of God, and then the feminine parts of the body came into view as Adam and Eve one in the feminine, then as that no good thing within the flesh, as the body of human reasoning or the mind of the old tree of knowledge, which was Lucifer, that savors the things that be of the flesh and of the world, because he's cut off from the spiritual things through the rejection of God. And so then there it was, and now Adam had become a creature of night, and the black veil, because Eve, as the black widow, had swallowed up her husband. She had given him the deadly bite, and now the poison went through his system, and he was dead as to the masculine part, withdrawing, and now from henceforth they were dead in trespasses and sin. Because God said, the day that thou eatest thou, thou shalt surely die. Like the little fable that we hear of the poison apple. So, when this came to pass, they were cut off from light. And when light began to search, it said, where art thou, Adam? And he said, we hid ourselves because we were naked. And he said, but who told thee that thou wast naked? And then they started to telling him about the beast and what had happened and how the beast had deceived them. Adam said, the woman, and the woman said, the beast. And here the beast, as being the only thing that could be seen, in that Satan could not be seen, it had to be punished. And the punishment is to the judgment. If you are wise, you can tell exactly according to the curse of the beast what took place. As to the curse, when it said, thou shalt be upon thy belly from henceforth and eat dust all the days of thy life. You can tell exactly what happened as to the curse when it said, and thou, O woman, shall bring forth thy seed from henceforth in travail and in sorrow. And then it was said unto the man, and thou shalt till the ground, and in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat from the fruit of the ground until you return to the dust. From the dust thou wast taken, and to the dust thou shalt return. So on and on we go, and we could just detail things here in such a way that would be so easy to see. They were naked. They were trying to sew fig leaves together. And this, of course, goes into a great thing concerning why that they did this. But the thought is, as I've said in the past, why did they say they were naked? Someone would say, well, it was because they were, Brother Pike. But then the question arises, as I have said in the past, why did they not recognize that they were naked from the start? They had never had any clothing. They had never had any kind of covering as to the natural robes of the earth. Why is it that there was no shame and there was no nothing that was degraded? Why is it that all of a sudden that they felt ashamed and wanted to cover their bodies? And how is it that they discovered that they were naked? It could only be one thing, and that is they had come to another knowledge, and that knowledge was their own thinking, as we would say in the world today, which is evil. That's why the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, for it is the mind of the beast, and every thought of it must be eradicated. The spirit within you lusteth unto envy. It's thoughts of your natural being. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The poison of asp under the tongue. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The feminine part, the woman, the weakness. Within my flesh there is no good thing. Satan has entered into my flesh, Paul was saying. And there's a continual warfare. And when I would do good inwardly, as to the masculine, I cannot get the feminine to honor me. I cannot get it in subjection. It is contrary. The Bible said, I will give women to rule over thee, and children shall be thine oppressors. And so then the feminine gender is in control. And it's all through the educational system of the old tree of knowledge. And so the world goes on and it rules by its intellect. And with them it is frolic, it is ball games, it is races, it is lasciviousness, it is eating and drinking, it is appearance, it is bodily muscles, it is the conformity of images, of trying to look like certain things, and the admiration of those that are in high positions and the upper echelon, and looking for advantages, wanting to be a movie star, wanting to be something as a great singer, some kind of star, some kind of attraction to present the body, not the faith, but face. And so then all of this is a conglomeration of confusion, for the Bible said to thee belongs confusion of faces. But with God's program, it's just the opposite. Away with that as to the feminine rule. Away with that. Bring back the masculine, because it has caused you to lose your home in the presence of God. It has caused you to lose the Shekinah glory. And now the curse is here, which is that dark intellectual thing of Lucifer that's come over you. It's a veil of death, and it's come over your mind from that of the garden, and the Shekinah image is gone. That Shekinah image that was in the foreknowledge of God as Christ before the world ever was. For it is said, and Adam, is he the beginning of the creation of God? It says Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. But I say, how? Oh God, how can Jesus be the beginning of the creation of God? You created Adam first. But yet the Bible does say Adam was a figure of him to come, as long as he was illuminated with the Shekinah, because the Shekinah was Christ. And then I say, how can that be? But then I hear a voice say, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. And I say, well, then Jesus was before the world ever was. Christ was before the world ever was. He was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He was the Shekinah image that was called the high priest of God that Paul spoke of. And he was the one that was called Melchizedek that met Abraham when he come back from the slaughter of kings over in the valley of Shave. And there where Abraham paid tithes, as to say the less to the better, and Levi still in the loins of Abraham before the priesthood came into effect, paid loins through that unto a tenth of the spoil as to this great mighty Melchizedek. And Jesus coming later, having an administration that brought him to an office and said, Son, O God, thy scepter is forever, and thou hast been made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, thou hast become equal to the Christ that is within thee, which is Melchizedek, the high priest who was the beginning of the creation of God. And now that body is 100% perfect with God himself, and it is God that has been made flesh. Now this body shall live forever and never die. For thou as a body, as a man, hath now taken on the godliness, that you are one with the great God spirit, being chained from a living soul to a quickening spirit. And now thou art a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, because ye are an image in the earth, and ye have obtained unto the very Godship, as my Father and I are one, Jesus said. So we see this great wonderful thing that God did. Examine this a little closer and understand what the Lord has said and what he is doing here. They said, we are naked. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Why was it that they were ashamed? It was not because, it wasn't because that they were without clothing. That wasn't the reason that they were ashamed. They'd always been without clothing. They did not know what clothing was until this point. It wasn't that. What it was an inner thing. It was a condemnation of heart. See, the condemnation. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They knew nothing but Christ and the Shekinah light. Now it was hid and departed, and it was saying, "Where art thou, Adam?" And now, here we are born again. We are a new creature. We are a new body. We are not interested in the flesh. Who shall deliver me? Or shall I say, who hath delivered me? Jesus delivered me. What the law could not do in that was weak through the flesh. Though the law is spiritual, I am carnal, sold unto sin. So then, who hath delivered me? Even the Lord Jesus, taking my blame, exchanging places with me. So then, what I am as to that that's unbecoming, he became. And what he is in the sight of God as to that which is becoming, so I am. And God's workmanship in Christ. And what God wanted me to be, he made Jesus to be that. And then made him to change places with me. And then set me at the right hand of God to stay there until the transformation of mine was finished. For we are they that dwell in heaven and in the presence of God and the kingdom of God within us, or Christ within us. And he hath chosen us out of the earth, hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of restoring of all things. And by the finished work of Christ, as to us being whatever he is, so are we in him. Being complete in him, we are justified, sanctified, glorified, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. We are the elect of God, predestinated unto good works, and the full measure of the full stature of the full reward in Christ Jesus. And so we are, as in the possessive, looking for nothing, waiting for nothing, trying to get not to anything, but rather to believe in that by this coming of Calvary and the rent veil, it was to be revealed to us that immortality has been brought to light. And at the rent veil now, the great light shines since Calvary, and we're over the Jordan. And now Jesus has brought to light that we have immortality. And we have, as to the mortal, put on immortality, and God has reserved us forever. And we are a new creature, and old things have passed away. And now, behold, all things are new. And there's no former things as to remembrance in our mind or in God's mind as judgment against us. And he hath raised us up to set us at his right hand in heavenly places to rejoice forevermore by praising him for this wonderful everlasting victory. And then from Calvary all the way down, per generation as to measures, it must be revealed until the end time. And then when the end time come, the same revelational thing that was given to Paul was to return in the end time to gather the seed of Christ and to bring about this wonderful harvest, as to bring the few or the little flock that was to receive the kingdom. So I say this again to you. I am not saying that ministers of the past has not done a great work. I am not saying that God did not send them. I'm not saying that there hasn't been great mighty men and great mighty moves of God. I'm not saying that when I'm preaching. I'm not preaching as the only one who has a message from God. I am saying that from the beginning of the church ages until the end of the church ages, everything that comes forth is in measure. It is in part. And Paul confessed that, having the revelation as to be Christ himself, to start this thing off, being the head and caught up to the capstoning as to the third heaven, to oversight this building, and being Christ, having laid the foundations, then he understood that everyone that was building was in part. I lay the foundations, you build. But he said, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. That is, it won't be seen anymore, because the parts will be swallowed up in a whole as to a complete thing. The building will be completed where God's building. Even the city of New Jerusalem, that is adorned as a bride for her husband, with the great jasper light of that of the precious stone on the inside, even Christ the Revelator. Now, when I say that, I'm saying that if the travail comes at Calvary, if Jesus is the woman with the feet on the moon, because that woman in Revelation 12 is the Jews, and if it is the Jews, that is the body. And if the feet is on the moon and the woman is illuminated with the sun and the stars on her head, then that means it was Jesus at Calvary being numbered with the 483 years of Daniel's prophecy, which was before the death of Jesus, to give the great Holy Spirit for the church ages, placing him with the Jews and in the era of the Jews. So when it is seen, then that means the 483 belongs to the seven, as to the rent veil, the seven from the 483 to allow for the church ages and the revelation, which is the revealed Christ, that is to say the separation of Moses and Elijah to open the doors of heaven, that the sword that had kept people out as to the covering cherub was now moved aside, and Jesus completing the church as to pick it up as that of the manger, as one man. It had fallen to the beast state, picking it up as one man, walking all the way back to glory, perfected it in every perspective, naturally, physically, spiritually, walked between the cherubs right back into glory, and said, Father, the third day perfected, now it's finished. Stepped down out of there to come down to show the finishing, that he might die out of the presence of God, that was him taking your sins and God despising, smiting you, that we might become him that had walked into glory. And so today that is us in glory. And today we are him, and the Father and I are one. And today he is gone forever, because God gave him his only begotten Son, that he might redeem us. And he died out of the presence of God and was gone forever, that we might be in the presence of God and live forever. And so today we are the resurrected Christ. We are the ever living. And that is the complete loss of that of Adam, which God despised. So then we can see, great is the mystery of godliness. And we can understand that this thing has to do with two kinds of seeds. And one of these seeds was sown by Jesus, the good master. One of these seeds was sown by Satan, that one of ill fame. And it is said in the parable, Jesus said, there's going to come a harvest. It's the end of the world, when the angels shall come forth and cut down all of it, tare and wheat alike, and then separate us to a segregating, and bundled up the tares in bundles, and cast them into the fire, indignation of God. And the others as wheat, bring them into the garners of the master. So when they ask him of the parable of the sower that went forth to sow the seed, as to the field that produced tares, it is said that they went unto the master and they said, Master, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? And he said, I did. They said, from whence then cometh the tares? He said, the enemy has done this while I slept. And so it is that Adam went into a deep sleep to bring forth Eve, and Jesus went into a deep sleep as to the foreknowledge of God and was to come, be in that until the return at the end of the church ages. And even though Calvary brings the end of the world as to the harvest, not 4 months, but now look on the fields, ripened to harvest already, ye other people upon whom sins of the world have come. You have to differentiate as between the first, second, and third power to understand what he is saying. So then, When we look at this, then we realize that the seed was sown, that Lucifer, through this beast, sowed a seed unto corruption, and that Satan as a spirit sought a human body that he might have a seed in the earth, and Cain was the seed of the serpent. Because in so doing, it is said, wherefore slew he his brother? As to Cain, it was because his deeds were evil, and his brother Abel's deeds were good, and said he was of the wicked one. And Jesus, when he had the confrontation with the scribes and with the Pharisees, and they wanted to kill him, and went about seeking how they could destroy him, he said, ye are of your father the devil, and his will ye will do. The seeds of the serpent, it was a production from the fallen Adam who had failed to the level of the beast. And being the feminine, Adam thus had two kinds of conception. And he was bringing forth as to one unto death and one unto life. And so then in this, when we see Eve as to this, then in Adam all die. As to one side of Adam, which was that was in the transgression, even Eve, as to his body and flesh. And to the other side, as to the illumination of the Shekinah glory, as to the differentiating of Jesus, making within himself twain, as to both first Adam and second Adam, as to a living soul, as to the feminine, and as to the masculine, as to the quickening spirit, and dividing asunder as it would be of Siamese twins, as to the parasite that had got in through the garden and giving the life back to the proper side of that which was to be spared. In this we see the conception, and we see the travail, and we see this as to the twins. And we find out that all down through life, the flesh as to the woman had been giving birth to two kinds. And so then you find the seed of the serpent among the people. And then you find the seed of God. And both of them looks just alike. Because as to the seed of one, it will be just like the other. Or if it's a crab apple or a good apple. Or whatever the seed might be as to the likeness, even as to the growth. See, and with these, the difference is in it is with the interior as that within the heart as to whether it be wheat, as to whether it be that of a tare. So then the harvest will tell what it is, and it will be separated. And Jesus said the harvest is the end of the world. He said, and the field is the world, and all these people are there. And that Satan has sown his seed, while God has sown his seed. And that God sowed Adam and Eve as good seed. But the enemy come in, and he intermingled this, and sowed bad seed. And the good seed is seen between the tree of the woman and the man, as to the tree of life with the man, and the tree of death with the woman, which is the tree of knowledge as to the woman. All of her seed coming forth to death, and all of the seeds of the loin of the man coming forth unto life. And so then it is seen in these two trees where it was said of Lucifer, speaking of Lucifer, Lucifer, thou son of the morning, as to the reverence to the creative act of Adam. How is it that thou art fallen, and so Adam fell? How is it that thou wast the most beautiful tree in the garden, but thou didst lift thyself up, and because of thy brightness, thou hast caused thyself to take on iniquity, and now the Shekinah has gone from thee, and out went Adam. And so then he lost his beauty. God beautifying the meek with salvation. Adam was the most beautiful tree in the garden because he was illuminated with the very image of Christ as to the spiritual angelic being. And upon his branches was that of life, the fruits of life. But it was only an illumination. And so then as to this beautiful tree, Adam was the most beautiful because it was God. And it was made for the body of God. And God intended for Adam to be God. And the second man, Adam, did become God. Even though the first man, Adam, as to the woman perspective, did not lose out being God. But it became satanic God. And so everybody in Adam died. And because of the sins of Adam in that he was charged with the weakness when the Shekinah left as to the feminine side of it, then all in Adam die. And the divisional part shown between the woman as to Eve and Mary as to the virgin in that virtue went out of Jesus' body, healing all, and life comes from virtue. Then it is shown as to the separation, as to the opening of the Libyus, or the matric as it would be with the beast there at the rent veil of Calvary. And then it is shown as to the divisional thing between the body and the spirit as the temple or the veil of the temple rent in twain or two because he made in himself twain. And this, of course, is where we see the twins. So one is interested in religion as Cain. And they offer their offering. Another is religious and interested in an offering which was Abel. But one had an offering of blood and offered that of the lamb and the sheep and the gentle nature of Christ. Just out of spontaneous reaction of being the seed of God. Whereas the other, as Jacob and Esau, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, before they were ever born, that it might stand according to predestination as to the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, that is of the church. And so then, in this, when we look at it, then we see Adam, we see Eve, we see Cain, we see Abel, and we see the enmity between the two and Cain killing Abel. And we see Cain offering his religious sacrifice. We see Abel offering his religious sacrifice. And one is blood as to the atonement, the no remission without the shedding of blood, and in a lamb-like nature. And here comes Cain, and he offers his as the fruit of the ground. He brings his as the fruit of the ground. And offers, as you would say, these people that can sing good, these people that can preach good, these people that can talk good, these people that have nice personalities and appearance and ambitions as to their PhDs or whatever, or their drive for setting up something to be attractive in the earth, whether television, radio, or just churches, or just being deacons, or laity, or whatever it might be. And offering their personality and their flesh, trying to give it to God as to the fruits of their own flesh. Satan saving the things that be of the flesh and being of the dust, and that bringing the curse, for cursed is that of the earth. And so then, when this was brought, God did not receive it. There was no shedding of blood for remission, but with Abel there was shedding of blood. Then it was said unto Cain, where is thy brother? Cain said, I don't know. Or why hast thou me? Am I my brother's keeper? Whereas we really are our brother's keeper. And it is said, thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. What is this thou hast done? And the Bible says that Cain was wroth because God would not receive his sacrifice. And he said, would I not have received thy offering? But sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. See, and this is the difference. Today it goes on with the religious body of the charismatics. It goes on with the religious body of the intellectual human ego of religion from the Pentecostals on up. And they have incorporated everything into it, from bathing suits to televisions, from men and women fellowshipping and talking and going on all the time and being together and just laughing and talking and visiting and all these intermingled, interwoven things. And they have got it in such a mess until now God has rejected the whole thing. So he says unto us, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. And he said, these few shall find it. And I have hid this thing so high as to the heavens from the earth. And they cannot obtain unto it with all of their zeal and their zip. And they want their wants and whatever. It amounts to nothing but a fleshly zeal and a fleshly ambition. So then, and they always wind up causing confusion and problems, whether in the church, out of the church, or whether it's in the world or whatever it is. Even though in the world they're better off, to the extent the church is better off, if they're cold, they stay away from the church. And the church, if it's hot, it stays away from the world. And there is enmity between that seed and the woman seed, the woman being the church. So then we see that the seed of the serpent there, is it comes forth as Cain and Abel. It comes forth as Jacob and Esau. And all down through the years, the woman is to the flesh. She's carrying the twain, and there is a continual enmity between the man and the woman, or between the beast and between the seed, which is the Son of God. See, there's a continual warfare in the body. Oh, wretched man that I am, let me get rid of the image of this death. Let me get rid of the body of this death. Let me put down every thought and imagination and all my ambition till I have no more thoughts. And every thought is Christ, and every impulse is Christ, and every pulsation is Christ. Let me get rid of all of it, because this is my goal, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is the transforming of my mind from faith to faith and from glory to glory that brings me to where I don't think anymore. I don't try to believe anymore. I don't try to do anything anymore. You know, when the woman has conception and she's carrying the child, what does she do to form the child? What does she do to make the child anything? It is not her. It is the man and the seed of the loins. And whatever that seed is as to the father, if he is corrupt and he takes dope and he's a drunkard, then most likely the child is going to turn out to be a freak, or to be a nervous wreck, or a mental condition, or I've cursed that as the fruit of the womb, and it'll turn out to be some kind of an affliction. Whatever it might be, could be an imbecile. But if it's the heavenly father, then it's not going to be as the satanic thing of the seed as of the serpent. And it's going to bring forth a child of maturity and beauty and well favored by God. And it's going to be as it would be the proper child, as to being caught up to the throne. So I say, and this has been through the years, and it's come proportionally. And as each minister has preached down through the years, they have brought a measure. And if Jesus is the head that broke the Libyus to be caught up to the throne, then we know the travail of the woman in Revelation 12 is shown there, and we see the child caught up to the third heaven and the blood coming off the seat of atonement and Satan going out. So we know that in measure there has been a move of God, but it didn't rapture the church. And the little shoulders have shown. And then there's another move of God, and the little chest has shown. And then there's a move of God, and the little belly has shown. And another move of God, and the little thighs have shown. And another move of God, and the little legs have shown. And then the last as to the 10 toes. And then all of a sudden, the last as to the child coming forth, the physicians as to those of the church ages, the 7 church age messengers, working with this as to the angelic. And then all of a sudden, in the last generation, as to the compound of the sevenfold life, and then the child is at last complete. And when the child is born as to the complete, like that, the head is thus all attached at one time as to the coming of the Lord, and he's caught up to the throne as the membership's like that. He's swaddled and caught up to the throne of God, even as the Jews go through that of the tribulation, as to the swaddling from the birth, as to the middle of Daniel's week, when the blood appears on Mount Zion as the Lamb, and then the swaddling through the tribulation period, and then all of a sudden caught up to the throne, and Jesus is sitting on the throne. For he is caught up to the throne to rule until the Father can put everything under Jesus' feet to the human side of it. And then the Father will take over, and the great light will swallow up everything, and the Father will be all in all. So it's very obvious as to what is happening. The last generation gets the translation, but not all of the last generation. A little flock, few there be that find it, whatever it might be, especially in the sinful, adulterous generation. And we're right down here at the end, and sure enough, here is the revelation. And all of a sudden, here is the translation. Here is the wonderful thing. but we're still ambitious. We got to mess up the pies like I saw in the vision. We got to say, this is our quarter. This is our inheritance. This is our place. This is our portion. Being carnally minded, that's all we can think of. And going right on with the same thing that everybody has gone on with. The only difference is they were blessed because that's all they knew. And they were called to do that and look forward to this day. And you are not blessed. You are in a mess. See, and you're just going after the flesh and just causing a mess and dividing the body of Christ to get something secular to your benefit, whether it be as to talk to people in the church, as Paul said, leading people astray after you by causing division, or whether you think it's in the ministry, or whether you think it's some great thing as to having a business and controlling God's people by manipulating in money, as it was down in Babylon when the king tried to drink and eat out of the vessels of God and take control of God's people. Or as Pharaoh when he put God's people under bondage. So whatever it is, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And if your tongue is that of a viper, then you're going to lead into captivity. Everything you say is going to lead into captivity. For he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And all of these things that you're interested in non-virtuous thing, whatever it might be in your home that's unlike Christ, it means that you are like him. And as you grow in this grace and knowledge, you cannot remain a child. You cannot say, well, I'll just take 34. Somebody else will get 64. I'll just take 34 because I want a little something on the side. The fact that you have a desire for a little something on the side means the love of the world still there in you, and you don't have anything from God. And it's only when you're reaching for 100% is the desire of God to please him with all of your heart and to love him with all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your desire, that you get anything from God. And then in your effort as to your growth, as to whatever you are in your measure, whether a child is to 34 or a little more, then whatever you fulfill as to what you know, it is required. To whom much is given, much is required. And to whom little is given, little is required. To that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. But the servant that did not know to do his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. So then we find out that it is only required of us of just what we know. If only a cup of water he places within our hand, only a cup of water, that will be what he'll demand, as the songwriter said. So then that means that when we come to these things, we can't allow for not anything. We must be reaching for the full measure of the full stature, going on to perfection and bringing our works to perfection. For he said, I've not found your works perfect, and bringing forth fruit to perfection, or to be there. For perfect is the Father, for he that be perfect shall be as his master. So then we see that these things are here, and yet the enmity is between us and the seed of the serpent. And the charge is, I must bruise his head. That's why my little slingshot is always ready when it comes to the houses of institutions as to learning. And the PhDs and the philosophers, and they don't like that little stone, and they don't like that slingshot. And they think they're a great big bully out yonder with the billy sticks and all these other things. And they've got God's people buffaloed, and they're standing out there with all of their threats. But there's a little slingshot and there's a little stone. And the Bible said this stone is hewed out of the mountain, and it wasn't hewed out by hand. And it's coming right on down through Babylon, this old world that's all fuddled up. And it's going to tear down the kingdoms of the world. And it's going to grow till it fills all of the earth. All of the earth. Everything will be taken over by this great mighty government. So then we can see by these few feeble scattered little remarks tonight that this thing is coming to an ultimatum. It's coming to a close. In the last day or two, working on the music a little bit, Brother Ron, Brother Taylor, and some of them drifting in as to one or two occasionally, we went into some depths of some things and talking with them that, according to what they have said, has stirred them to the core of their soul and has made some of them at last, for the first time, according to what they say, they really see something of what I've been saying and why the difficulty of getting this over to the audience has been so, and how long it has taken them. In the vision, it was said 25 years, but still they are those of conceit. There are still those that are feeling that they are ready to win the world and do all of these things. And what they desire to do is cut themselves off. And I keep telling them that they're going to dry up and wither up, and all of their fruits is going to be gone. And men are going to gather them and throw them in the fire, for they're going to fall into temptation. And the ordination of God is to divide the body. He said, if that be so, then I will destroy you. This is my ordination. For he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There's but one God, one faith, one message, one word, one baptism. There is but one church and one membership as to one spirit. And we are in this wonderful spirit, all baptized into this by one spirit. And it belongs all together to the Christ that unites us together as member to member. And there is no division and retirement from this war, nor division of membership. So the physicians of today, they delight in mutilation. They delight in taking off the members of the body and savoring and cutting them all to pieces, because that is the feeble preachers of today that wants to split the body up and have their part over here and their part over yonder. Because of an amputation, they can get a big cut out of that. They can get a new car out of that. As to an operation and deleting the body of the necessitated things, they can get money. I say this again as a man that operated on Eisenhower. When I talked to him, he said, I have operated on many people. He said, but it took them plunging a knife into my flesh and leaving the ugly scar to let me see what it was like, to make me realize that that all of those operations was not necessary. And he said, it was only when I saw the ugly scar on me that I recognized this. So then, ever how it might be, it is as the Bible said, physician, heal thyself. He that is sick needs a physician, and we are physicians, and we're here to try to help you. But if we give you a remedy, and you cannot accept our remedy, then we cannot help you. If we tell you what then you must do, but you cannot do that, then we cannot help you. If you've got your own idea about it, then you could not have the mind of Christ, which is our mind. That's given to you. So I say to my children, I say to them that love Christ. I have begotten you as a father in the gospel. Though you have 10,000 instructors, you have but one father, Paul said, being the overseer of the Gentile church. Abraham, our father of the faithful. Christ, our beloved God. So then, if you be spiritual children, as to the sheep of God, the chief shepherd is coming, and he hath made me a shepherd. I've set you over the nations to pluck up and to plant. So then, to bless and to curse, we're here to help you. If you can listen at what we say, then by faith, you can have your sins remitted. If not, then you hear it as to reflection, and you're the seed of the serpent. And there's enmity between this mind of Christ and that mind of your fleshly ambition, religiously or otherwise. Let's everybody stand together, just saying a few little things together tonight. Take those things and enlarge upon them that God might guide you into all truth and righteousness. And he will. Every time your natural mind rises up, you will become dwarfed. But if not, you'll find yourself as to the inner man, having been restored to this covering of his glory, which is the indwelling of that lost Shekinah image. And that covering will be sufficient. It is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's covering. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Don't come to this wedding supper without this garment. Don't do that. You'll be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. I counsel of you to buy of me raiment tried in the fire. And there's only one raiment that ever passed through the fire. That was Jesus. And we are that body. Therefore we can in Him boast. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. For we are the gates to heaven. Lift up your head, ye everlasting gates, that the King of glory may come in. So then we know that we have no fear of hell or death. And when we realize that if we go before Him without this garment, we are still in the flesh and we are not in His covering. And the Bible says, wretched, blind, and naked, who told thee that thou wast naked? Your shame will show. That means that we need to do something, folks. Down at the end of the church ages and tonight, this is a little fragmental approach. And it is the true fact that they that do not get this will be lost. Someone would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? When I say that, let me bring not a corrective thing, but a thing that makes it a little more understandable. And that is that only the bride of Christ and the children will get this. And the children will only get bits and pieces. But it will be brought to them as to whether it's no more than baptism in Jesus' name, one God and a few other things as to an indoctrination. As the Bible said, who shall I teach doctrine? He that is weaned from the breast. Even if it be in such a minor measure as we would say naturally, it's still the children, for you know in part you receive by measure. But the bride is looking for something. She's supposed to be one with Him. And this wonderful revelation of the Son of God is given to her because it is the revealing of Jesus Christ, or Christ revealed to her interior as to the heart, the conception of Him within and the surrender of the body as to the great Spirit of Christ which is inside. And the Bible said, and thy son shall marry thee as a man taketh to himself a wife. Or that is to say, a real son of God on the inside, as to the masculine, will marry his own body, as to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the membership of the church. And yet, the membership in general belongs to God. Or that is, to God we are sons, but to Jesus we are His bride, as to the many members of His body. For He is the head of the church. But to us individually, it is as it is said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Had it not been so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. If I prepare a place, I will come again to receive you unto my own, that where I am, there you might be also. So I would say, and Lord, where did you go? And He would say, into your heart, my son. And the kingdom is there, and I am there with you. And I am preparing the indwelling as to the spiritual man, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, that you might be perfect in my sight, and that this heavenly treasure might be made manifest in your body as a member being a temple, or a great, wonderful temple, in my Father's house as one of the members of the Father's house, even the body of Jesus Christ, wherein the fullness of God dwelt, for we are God's building. And so then He is building a mansion. And the same ark that Noah built become His haven of refuge. And unless we can offer this body as a lamb without spot to redeem our souls as the very body of the Lord Jesus, then we don't have redemption. And yield our blood life that we might yield royal blood as to His blood in our behalf. We don't have royal life. And unless we can prepare this little ark as to this body, then we can't make it through the deluge. For it's our work in the perfection of this body and preparing this body that brings us to, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and that mansion is your body. It'll be changed into a celestial body at the end of the church ages. And it'll be no longer a tabernacle, Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, John said, now, beloved, ye are the sons of God, speaking of the inward man, no longer in this tabernacle of body as to the wilderness of the intellectual wandering, which is for beast and of the serpents, but now in the mind of Christ, and no more the same creature, but the resurrected body, bone, and flesh of Jesus Christ, the Father's house, or that temple of Solomon that dwells in heaven. Ye are the temples of the living God. And if any man defile that body, God will destroy that body. So then let us take heed and let us do everything we can as the mother carrying the babe, for the maturity is of its own. It takes the time and season. The mother just takes care of it so as not to hurt it. But the life, the image, it's all of the Father, and the nature will bring it forth according to the Father, whether he be good or bad, whether it be God or whether it be Lucifer. As to the seed, will break forth in the metamorphosis of Calvary, and out comes the butterfly to show that we're a heavenly creature, and though we are sown as a seed, as to the same as a worm in the earth, the seeds being the same in appearance, yet inside is one life, as to the germ of life, that of the wheat, and the other a germ of death, that of the tare, and this will be known at the harvest. Let's sing a little chorus together. Thank you for your attention tonight to bring out just a thought or two. It might help you if you want to enlarge on it. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Sing that with me now. So I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every line. So we're trusting in the word divine. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. So we're trusting in the word divine. Oh, every promise in the book, it is mine. All right, while we're singing tonight, you're welcome to come. I'll sing another chorus or two, then you have a chance to come and renew your vows to God, or kind of blend in with the wonderful move of God and the wonderful work of God. This is not for everybody. It is only for his. And the Lord knoweth his own. For the seal of God remaineth sure, and standeth sure that God knoweth those that are his. So tonight, if you belong to God, then now's the time to enjoy these things. Let's sing this little chorus together. That sounds like home to me, like where I long to be. There the teardrops shall never dim my eyes again. The hills will echo with the story of His love and of His glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home to me. Sing that with me. That sounds like home to me, like where I long to be. There the teardrop shall never dim my nights again. The hills will echo with the story of His grace and of His glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home. One more time to sing it. That sounds like home to me, like where I long to be. Where the teardrops shall never dim my eyes again. The hills will echo with the story of His love and of His glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home to me. Let's lift our hands up together, close our eyes tonight, to examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. And let's let the Lord know how much we love Him. Let's let Him know how much we love Him tonight. For everything is coming down to the close of the way. Folks, I'm telling you the truth from the bottom of my soul. Everything is right down at the closing. And let's don't miss it. Let's don't miss it. Whatever you do, let's don't miss it. We're going to sing this little song, I Will Praise You. And while we're singing, let's just lift our hands and love the Lord. Can we do that? I want to praise Him. I want to praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for the blood that's washed away. Once more now. So I'm going to ask Brother Paul to come and dismiss us. While Paul's coming, let's love the Lord.
Will praise Him, praise that Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give glory, all ye people, for the blood that's washed away.
One more time together now is Paul come.
I will praise.